Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a getaway Friday night. Oh, you don't want to know what's going on during the break. September the 8th, 2023, in the midst of the Popcorn Festival, Sean got so hot he had to go get some beverages. Thank goodness he'll be back here momentarily. Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson in the studio. We went outside and took a picture, and I found out that I'm terribly vain, I guess, when we were outside. And there you go. So, whatever.
Anytime we take a group photo, Scott always says, okay, let me...
You're going to bring this up on the air. You're going to bring it up.
Scott always says, let me see the picture. And he zooms in on his face, and he'll zoom back out, and he'll say either that's good or take another one.
Hold on. Now, am I in the middle of the picture always...
Not in the dead center always.
Always.
No, I think you could zoom in on some other people once in a while.
I'm trying to make sure you two look okay.
Right.
That's
right.
All I'm trying to do. Excuse me. But anyway, beside that, okay. Carrington, you have topics you've brought to the show tonight. I like this. You're the first co-host to ever do this, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. So hit it.
Oh my gosh. I think since the first week I've been here, I was like, I think I could talk about some stuff. There's some interesting points.
This is your show.
Oh. I brought one topic.
You did the Steger. What was that? The
simulation theory.
We still don't know what it is, so let's not go back there.
Go ahead. Revisit that.
Go ahead, Carrington. Well, one thing we have is a top 10 we got to get in, so hit your topics.
Okay. I just know that I have a bad habit of continually watching the same shows over and over. Like, every night I'm going to sleep, I'm going to turn on Friends, and that's just what I do. And sometimes, you know, I'll hear people talking about other shows that they watch, and they're like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen that? And no, I haven't. I'm just going to rewatch Friends for the 100th time again and again. And I've always thought that this was a bad thing whenever people constantly are rewatching the same shows and reading the same books. I don't know where I got this idea that it was related to, like, people being depressed. Have you guys ever heard that? Like, did you have that?
Watching the same shows means you're depressed?
Not a direct link, but, like, I don't know if I heard this in a movie or a book or, like, where I got this impression from, that it's just, if you are, like, constantly rewatching the same thing and, like, doing the same thing over and over, like, it's not good for you.
You know, I never heard that. Why would that be?
I don't know. Just, like, the repetitiveness, like, monotonous, you're not seeking new things. I don't know. I don't know why I had this idea in my mind, but I did.
Aren't there, like, 300 episodes of Friends?
Yeah, but it's still the same thing over and over. Like, I'm quoting it as it goes. Like, oh, I'm like, oh, I love this episode. I know what happens next. You know, I get excited.
Well, I think it's because you like it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I just had this idea in my mind that someone had told me one time that it wasn't good. You're not supposed to do that. And so I was just laying in bed the other night thinking about it. And so I looked it up. I was like, is this bad for you? Like, should I turn on something a little different this time? And I found that there were a lot of reasons why it's actually really good for you to turn on the same show and watch it over and over.
I have found that looking at pictures of myself over and over again makes me feel somewhat comforted.
Yeah.
So there you go. What do you think, Matt?
I think that... Sorry, my head broke for a second.
Your head broke?
Yeah, I lost what I was going to say.
Lost your train of thought.
Yes.
Bring it back in. We'll come.
I think that... Okay, sorry. I watch... my favorite show of all time is Avatar The Last Airbender. I've watched Avatar The Last Airbender at least 10 times since it's been on Netflix all the way through.
Yeah. Avatar The Last Airbender is your friend.
Does that mean you're depressed?
No.
That's what we're saying here, right?
But also, I know this guy named... Well, I guess I don't know him personally, but there's this guy named Bob Proctor. He gives, like, motivational speeches and whatnot. And he said that he has this book that he has reread for... like 20 some odd years now since he had it, and I don't remember the name of the book, but he said he rereads it, and every time he rereads it, he finds something new in the book.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'll rewatch something because I pick up something new from it. Like last night I was watching something I've probably seen two or three times before, and I was laying in bed just watching it as I was falling asleep, and I thought, you know, I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you've watched 100 times, and then you're just like, huh, never noticed that.
Or you catch, like, an inside joke in a movie that, oh, I never noticed that was there before. I didn't get that. Yeah. So I understand. But I don't think that's a sign of depression.
I know. I don't know if I had heard this in a sense it was like if you do it for like years and years and years and it's like every day that's what you're doing. I don't know why I had this idea in my mind, but for some reason someone had planted a seed that watching the same thing over and over equals not looking good, you know? You got some stuff going on. You're not well. So I looked it up.
Yeah, but you can't... See, here's the problem. This is what ultimately... Let's say you're not well. If I tell you you're not well, you're not going to believe me.
No, for sure not.
Right, so...
Yeah, I don't know why...
It becomes a whole problem.
I had this idea. Why do people...
Maybe it just has to do with a perceived lack of curiosity.
Well, it's like when you play the same song over and over and over because it makes you happy, or if you're sad, you play a sad song. You know, I think it's just a mood setter is all that it is.
That's very fair. And I mean, I found lots of reasons why it's a good thing.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, do you know Mitch McConnell?
I do, yeah.
Well, you're getting about the same problem here.
Had a little Mitch McConnell moment there. We're going to give you a competency test. You had a little Mitch McConnell there for a second.
It happens.
Well, it didn't happen to me, too, because I had something I was going to say to Kerry.
It just went out.
I froze up, too. It's all right for all of us.
It's one of those nights.
I'll think of what I was going to say to Kerry, too, and I'll call you back.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That one, I don't understand, because there are things... But then there are things I'll come and go on. Like, there'll be a series I'll like to watch, like when I was younger, and I'll watch it, and then... I won't watch it for 10 years. And then, that sounds interesting. I might watch that again.
Yeah, I looked it up, and there were a lot of reasons that it was a good thing, and I was just surprised. So, I don't know. I think that's interesting that it's considered
beneficial. So, yours is Friends.
Yes,
mine is Friends. Old show. Why do you like that?
I don't know. I think my mom always talked about it whenever I was younger. She really liked that. I think a lot of my TV movie preferences come from her opinions. So.
Now, how old are your parents?
They're like 51 and 55, I think.
That'd be about right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Friends was a very popular show in its day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it still is. It has a lot of fans.
Yep, my sister has watched... I think my sister's ultimate goal was to watch Friends as many times as there are seasons.
Yeah, I feel like I've probably done that. I mean, I fall asleep during the episodes,
but... It was an okay show.
But...
It was, you know, it was okay.
I never watched...
Frasier was a good show.
Never heard of it.
Tremendous show.
Well, that's funny you bring that up, because one of the reasons is it gives you a sense of comfort. Whenever you're rewatching the same things over and over, it's kind of comforting
to
you.
Well, if you know something's funny and you know you like the characters, it's like visiting with friends.
Yes, yeah. You're not going to be disappointed in what happens because you know what's coming.
Well, and radio is very similar to that. Every morning, you're visiting with the same person. You know they're going to be there for you, and, you know, it's what it is. It's comfort.
You said in relationships, though, that gets a little monotonous.
That the same thing. Oh, it
does.
The
same thing over and over.
But with you're not in a relationship with the people. These people.
You can turn it off.
You can turn it off when you're done with it. But in relationships, the monotony, the people get tired of each other. Because it's a whole thing. I mean, I like people, and I think relationships are fine, and I've been in and out of them for years and years now. But the truth of the matter is, if you really want to know, when you get right down to it, people are not wired to be together, really. Because people, the only person you're ever truly in charge of is yourself. That's it. You are in charge of yourself. You make 100% of the decisions for yourself, nobody else. And that's very hard to do because you can't control what somebody else is going to do. So ultimately, there are going to be conflicts throughout your life. Abby has been married, and I've said this before, beautiful, beautiful Abby has been married and divorced 2 times, and she's in her 3rd marriage. Now think about that.
Yeah, it sounds like Abby might have just rushed into things.
Well, see, why are you giving her the benefit of the doubt? We've said that you have said that more than 2 is a very bad thing. You know, I'm not going to judge her, but it's true.
Maybe she just needs to pump the brakes before marriage.
I think she does need to pump the brakes.
Yeah.
But that's true. So, I mean, I don't know what the problem herein lies. People are not meant to be together. That's just the way it is. Now, for moments, yes, but forever, no. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Scott, about the same age as, but not related to, thankfully, to Britney Spears. I wanted to make a comment, because I don't really call this show too often.
Go ahead.
I wonder if your panelists have any opinion. Am I beautiful, or am I just skanky and yucky, or somewhere in the middle? I'll ask that first before I ask the main question.
You know, I don't know, Adam.
Don't you think that any... I heard somebody mention that he had never viewed one of my favorite shows also. But it's a show about radio and about a radio guy who's kind of a wacko outside of the broadcast booth, and kind of sounds like somebody we know and love, doesn't it?
So, yeah, I can pick up on that, Adam. I can.
Don't you think that there are certain shows, the show you mentioned,
Frasier,
which you and I are, and it's making a reboot, although not with some of my favorite cast members. John Mahoney is deceased, but you know Niles is something else, and I think David Hyde Pierce rivals John Ritter as the best sitcom physical slash vocal actor I've heard in my lifetime. I don't think anybody comes close to those two, but maybe he'll make a guest appearance.
Yeah, good actor.
Think the aforementioned show, along with another show about radio, of course, WKRP in Cincinnati, should pretty much be required viewing for anybody who's entering this fascinating business. And I'll add the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It's TV, but considering the number of people on that show you've interviewed, Pat Carroll on a famous episode, and of course Ed Asner, who, yeah, I guess you were his Uber driver from the airport or something.
Ed Asner and I were close.
Yeah, those should be, I would say, certainly highly highly requested viewing for people in the radio business. And you know, Frasier is just such a good show, such good acting, so many underlying themes. So, just kind of upsetting to hear someone not saying he's never heard of Frasier.
I mean, I haven't heard of just about anything that has to do with TV, so...
Well, we'll get in some DVDs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch really any current shows. I've tried.
So, Adam, on the topic here tonight, do you think that watching the same thing over and over and over is really a sign of you're depressed?
Well, it can be. I mean, there are certain episodes, including of the aforementioned show and, you know, All in the Family episodes that I've seen... certainly double digits, but people do that. I mean, you know people who've seen Star Wars 100 times, right?
I've never seen Star Wars once.
Yeah, it's with me. People think I might be the kind of person who would like science fiction, and I would agree. I fit that personality type, but I really don't like science fiction. I never watched Star Trek, but it seems like everybody I was friends with as a kid did. I never got into it. Never. I like Ray Bradbury's books. I like, but some of that. The TV and movie science fiction was never really my cup of tea. I watched part of Jaws, and I just thought it was a bad movie, despite Richard Dreyfuss, a favorite actor of mine. I thought it was dumb. I thought the Alien was kind of dumb, too. So some of those cult horror movies never really got into. You know, I'll go for The Shawshank Redemption, something else anybody from this area hopefully has seen. You know, great movie with great acting and a lot of local... landmarks, as comes up in the show quite a bit. But people do binge watching. Is it almost like a song? You know, how many times have you played that Colin Ray song today?
Several. We played it several.
Well, I had a comment about that song too, Scott. I'm not sure. You know, you've heard of the song "Smuggler's Blues" by Glenn Frey. We lost Glenn Frey a few years ago. That song sounds...
He died, didn't he? We didn't lose him. He just died, didn't he?
Well, a great talent.
I'm sorry. I thought maybe he got lost in the woods.
Smuggler's Blues. That song sounds just like it. He does sound a bit like Len Fry. It's a little more twangy, although the Eagles certainly were very country-influenced. I swear, I hear that song, and it's like, if I've had a couple cold ones, I could have sworn I'd be listening to Smuggler's Blues or maybe another Glenn Frey song. There really is a similarity there, which is a compliment. I mean, Glenn Frey, you know, one of your top-tier musicians for sure. So I just... But listen to Smuggler's Blues if you haven't. I swear it sounds just like that song you're played by Colin Ray.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that song?
Oh, yeah. I played it quite a bit.
Okay. So it just really does sound similar, and it's kind of intriguing. So would you agree, though, Scott? Do you think watching these shows, even if they're not real, about a radio theme will help you in the business? You know, WKRP was considered almost a documentary. It was based upon experiences at a radio station. It has people from Southwest Ohio, Dayton, and Cincinnati.
I would agree, yes.
You know, Jennifer Marlowe, you talk about someone I was infatuated with when I was a kid. My goodness. I would definitely, you know, I'm in a couple WKRP Facebook groups, and it always comes up Jennifer or Bailey. Yes, they're both beautiful, but Jennifer, my goodness. She and Burt Reynolds, they could have made some beautiful babies.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've never really thought about that, but I appreciate the suggestion of that. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, I think, you know, Frasier, it just has those delightful quirks, you know, reminding of someone that, you know, we all know and love, I think. So, you have a favorite character on Frasier, Scott, since you're a fan like I am?
Oh, yes. I would have to say Frasier himself.
Okay. How about Gil Chesterton? He was hilarious. Those bow ties and that voice, you go, Frasier! And then BB, they kind of talked alike. Yeah, Gil Chesterton, I wish I would have seen more of him. I found Bulldog annoying, which was kind of the aim of that character.
Oh.
And almost like an up-to-date WKRP, but focusing more on Frasier's home life. And it also comes up like, you know, maybe what you think, Scott, who's prettier, Roz or Daphne? I mean, they're both beautiful.
Oh, Daphne. I like the accent.
I'm a Daphne guy.
Oh, yeah, Daphne. You got to like Daphne. She's got that accent.
I still think of her as a virgin on Seinfeld.
Virgin?
Remember she played the virgin on Seinfeld?
You know, I missed that episode.
Yeah, well, watch it.
I'll do that. What's the episode called?
It's a family show. It's kind of hard to describe what the show is about, but...
Well, we get it.
You can say that word, but I'm not going to talk about what the theme of the show, because it's a little bit risque.
Oh, yes, I have seen that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she played that character.
Oh, okay. I forgot that, but yes.
I was never a big Hot in Cleveland fan, which again is kind of weird. You think I would, considering the cast, but never really got into it. I think I just kind of thought of Daphne as the Seinfeld and the Frasier characters.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yes, you're right.
And I just think of Valerie Bertinelli married to Eddie Van Halen, and they had the same hairstyle, which I thought was really cute. Remember that, Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli, when they got married, they had the exact same hair?
You know, I think I have their wedding picture at home, yeah.
Yeah, that's it's just a shame, Eddie Van Halen, another talent we lost much, much too young. But
did he get lost too, or did he die? He's dead, isn't he?
Whatever, he is no longer with us, yes.
Yeah, he's dead.
It's a shame. And
is it okay to say dead?
It's just kind of sad when it's someone that you somewhat idolize. I mean, what a guitar player.
What if somebody gets lost? What do we say
there?
If somebody actually is just lost, like Amelia Earhart, she's lost.
I don't know.
I think she's dead, too.
I guess
so there you go.
If it's someone that you have a lot of admiration for, you know, bring up Len Fry. I remember, because what was interesting, I think I was at another area station when I got back into radio. And I think I was, when I heard about it, I was literally driving up to Marion or Marysville or Mount Gilead or one of those places, I forget what. I heard it on the radio, and I didn't know about it, and it was really a downer for that day.
I've had those days, Adam. I've had those days.
Yeah, then Gary Wright, people don't realize how much of a studio musician he was, and he recently passed away. He was 80, and another great talent, but it happens.
Yep, death happens.
Yeah, and I think all these people leave a legacy, and a lot of young guitar players want to sound like Eddie Van Halen, but I'm not sure we can replace him.
That's well, I appreciate
that. You can always listen to their album, Scott.
You certainly can. Well, Adam,
yeah,
I appreciate
that's all I had for you, but
I like the insight. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, Matthew, catch Frasier. It's a really good show, and you'll enjoy the quirkiness of the characters, and certainly brings home the concept of psychiatrists who need a psychiatrist. We'll put it that way.
You got it. Thanks, Adam.
See you guys later. Bye
bye. Bye. All right, they're dead. Those people are actually dead. They're not lost. They're dead. Carrington, gone.
I think he'd be devastated to learn that I also don't know what Frasier is.
You gotta watch. It's worth it. It's worth it.
I was like, oh no.
Okay, topic number two.
The next topic I was thinking about was the Reacher versus Settler debate, which is the idea that in every relationship, there is someone who is reaching for someone out of their league and another who is settling for someone in a league below them. In every relationship.
Like,
do you guys in every, like, dating relationship, you know?
Like, like the American League and the National League?
What
are we talking about?
The league, like, you know, like, whenever you're like, oh, they're out of my league.
Oh, I've never thought
You've
that.
You've never heard that?
No,
oh,
I've never
okay.
thought,
you
well,
never
I never thought
that.
No, you gotta have confidence in yourself.
Oh, but you have to have self-awareness, too.
Excuse me.
I'm just saying, you know.
No, you can't be down on yourself.
No, but
you can't say that person's better than me.
Every relationship.
They're lucky to be around me, is what you say. They'd be lucky to be around me.
Yes, but there is a reacher and a settler in most relationships. Maybe based
but how
off
do you know who's what? How do you know who's what?
It depends on the relationship. It's like based off things like looks, personality, just like who they are overall. Someone's reaching for another and the other one's settling.
Well, are you the reacher or the settler, Matt?
I think if I had someone who I was talking to and I was talking to that person, I'd probably just be okay with talking to that person because they probably fit the four set criteria.
So are you reaching for them or settling?
Neither.
So it depends on the relationship. It varies.
Does it?
Yes. Is Matt going to reach for someone out of his league, or is he settling someone in a league lower?
Who's out of your league? I mean, that's what I guess I don't understand. Where do we get this? Is there, like, scoring?
Yeah, I think it's a lot based off of looks.
Oh, see, here we are again in superficial land.
I know.
It's so superficial. Look, what do looks get you? I mean, really, that's bone structure. That's all it is.
This is not what I made up. I have just heard of this before, the reacher and settler debate.
You know, we're all going to end up the same place, like Glenn Frey.
Yeah, that's
dead.
True. Dead.
Dead. And then we're all in the same league. Sean, are you the reacher or the settler?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, actually.
What league are you in?
I'm in the no league.
The no league.
Yeah.
See, I think if you are approaching anything in life and saying, this person's better than me, then you are... whoa. Pump the brakes.
It just depends on the relationship. You don't think that in most relationships you've either felt a little bit like you're settling for someone, or you're like, oh, this is a score. Like, I'm reaching for them. They're out of my league.
No, not that I can remember.
Really?
No,
this
I mean...
I'm not crazy. Like, you guys are all sitting here acting like this is a crazy thought, but I've seen this.
So are you the reacher or the settler?
It depends on the relationship.
Well, I mean, what... So who's better than you, who's not?
If Justin Bieber wanted to date me, I think he would be probably...
out of your league?
He's settling for me, and I'm reaching
for
him.
Oh, you like those tattoos?
It's not about that. He's just overall, he's probably more successful.
And the haircut?
And maybe it's the money.
Oh, the money.
There's just, like, you know, just overall.
Money.
I think he's out of my league.
I understand now. Okay.
It's not about the money. There's a plethora of things it could be based on.
That's a good word, plethora.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and then who's below you?
Maybe someone who is less attractive than me, or unemployed, or...
Ouch. Wow.
I don't know.
At least you're honest. God bless your heart.
Honest, yeah.
I love you because you're honest,
Thank
to be honest.
You.
I really do. You are an honest person to your detriment sometimes, but not to your detriment in society. I mean, to your detriment. I think you have a very honest, and it's rare. This is a great trait that you have, but I think it's to your detriment sometimes, happiness. Because because I think... You, I believe it sometimes, you really do believe that you're lucky to be with somebody. And that's a bad attitude to have. They're lucky to be with you.
Thank you.
I mean, that's true. Don't you think that, Matt? I don't think you should ever think that you're the down card of a relationship.
I am.
Well, that's why you're going to be...
I'm always
going to walk all over you.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. I don't think that I...
But I like it, because we are laying into you about this money thing, and you are taking it, so God bless your heart for being honest.
Taking it like a champ.
You are. You are a champ.
Thank you.
Go on, Matt. Did you have another Mitch McConnell there? Another Mitch McConnell?
I don't remember what I was going to say, but I don't...
He's dehydrated. Oh, no.
You get him some soda there.
Drink up. Come on.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
Don't you admire... I really do. I mean, this is an honest moment on the air. I admire her honesty. I really do. She's here with three guys. She's being very honest in her opinions, and those are not popular opinions by a lot of people. Most people would be altruistic, and they would go... Abby, I guarantee you would be, oh, no, it's nothing about the looks or the money. It's really just about, do I like them, and which is a bunch of bullshit. And the truth of the matter is you're being honest, and that's what I mean, to your detriment. That's very good. I appreciate that in you.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Yes.
Glad
Even if
honest.
You think I'm a vain person.
Yeah, I'm honest.
God bless your heart. All right.
I agree.
Did your thought come in yet, Matt? I was trying to buy you some time there.
I mean, I think she's honest. On the exchange.
Oh, it was great.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like it was good.
It was really. I mean, don't you have to agree with this, Sean? This is an honest person over here, even if it's not popular.
Yeah. I feel insulted right now. I don't know what's going on, but it feels
these
like
are compliments.
Yeah.
Genuine.
Everybody has the unpopular opinion sometimes.
Yeah, but nobody ever makes the unpopular opinion because they don't want to be the unpopular one. You are being brutally honest, and that is something I admire in people.
I'm so unpopular, it hurts.
No, not unpopular. It's just you are... an unpopular opinion is just the opinion that is not shared by the group. And clearly, this we've went through, we don't necessarily share your opinion on this, mm-hmm. but you're sticking to it, and that is admirable.
Oh, okay, thank you. No, I have received the compliment before that I'm a little brutally honest. So.
That's good.
Thank you.
What's wrong with that?
I don't think anything's wrong with that.
No, I think it's a good thing, so I appreciate it. God bless you.
Something about the tone where you were trying to be like, oh, it's okay. It's like whenever you tell somebody you went to a community college, and they're like, oh, well, that's all right. And you're like, yeah, it is all right.
I was being nice there.
Yeah.
See, you try to be nice and look what happens.
The tone. I was reading into it too much, I guess.
You know what? Before we go to the third topic, we've got a top 10 list here I want to make sure we get in. And it's a quick one. From the hall. Huh? What? Oh, we don't have a third topic? What? We don't? I thought we had a third topic. Okay, maybe we don't have a third topic. Maybe we'll have to go back to Reacher and Settler or play that Colin Ray song again. I don't know. We'll have to do something. Let's go to the top 10 list here. Do we got the drum roll? I believe we do. Ah, it's there. From the home office in Columbus, Ohio. Get NFL. I think. Oh, darn. Here comes a spot. You know, this is why you don't let this play all day. Okay. Here it's back. There we go. From the home office in Columbus, Ohio, top 10 words that can drive a person crazy. We were just talking about this earlier. Top 10 words that can drive a person crazy. Are you ready for this? Top 10 list. Here we go. Number 10, dude. I mean, I don't like dude.
If it's overused.
Dude drives me nuts. Ask, pronounced as ack.
What?
Oh, no. You gotta be on the inside of that one. That's an inside joke. I gotta read these things before I say them on the air. Oh, Bob, 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 Bob. All right. Oh, no.
We need some elaboration.
We can't elaborate on the... I'll tell you after the show. Top 10 words that can drive a person crazy. Oh, no. Number 8, impactful. Yeah, that's not a word. Number 7, whatev.
Like the shorthand.
Nope.
Number 6, not a word, irregardless. It's regardless. There is no irregardless.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Yeah, they say irregardless a lot. Number 5, frick or fricking. Yeah, if you're going to go for the F, just go all the way. Don't give me any fricking answer. Top 10 words that can drive a person crazy. Number 4, incentivize.
What?
Yeah, that's not a word.
Incentivize?
Incentivize.
That's a word. I just don't understand.
No. Incentivize? That's not a word.
That's not a word?
No.
Oh, okay.
With a V? Number 3, prideful. Not a good word. Number 2, wellness. So you can drive a person crazy. Wellness.
I don't get it.
It's on the little inside there. All right, and the number 1 word that can drive a person crazy, literally. And it literally can drive you crazy, no doubt about that. All right, good list, Bob, good list. That was a great list.
I didn't get most of it.
Number 9, ask, pronounced as ack.
Yeah, everyone's cracking up at this one. I'm so confused.
Oh, man. Okay, whatever. That's going in the Hall of Fame right there. I'm not going to be able to continue. That's horrible. Okay, anyway. I'm literally laughing right now. Okay, go ahead. Why do people say literally all the time?
I have no clue.
I hate that. You've said you've caught yourself now. Because everything is literal. You did it. That's it.
I think it makes you sound less professional if you're saying that a lot.
Well, it doesn't make any sense.
Good look.
All right. Okay.
People don't want to listen anymore. If it's too much of it, I agree.
Literally too much. You've got that right. Okay, so what did we decide there in the Reacher and Settler debate?
I think you guys aren't understanding.
No, I understand. I just don't understand why you would ever go into anything thinking that you were lucky to be with that.
Maybe you could let an outside third-party person decide, you know? You can kind of look at a relationship and see who's the reacher and who's the settler sometimes. Like I said, personality, being employed, there's other things that can kind of boost or lower someone's status.
But this is really about looks, is what you're saying.
Partially, yeah. I think it's a determinant for sure.
What do looks get you? I mean, honestly, really in the end.
It's just the initial, like, who you're going to go for, I think. Or who's, like, coming after you. You know? You go for people that are within your looks.
Yeah, but that's my whole point, is that when you first meet somebody, that's not how they look all the time. That is the problem. They're made up to some degree.
Unless they're not putting on that much makeup. Are you putting on makeup? Are you guys
looking great? Yeah, well, I still go into the makeup room before, right? I come out here.
Yeah,
sure.
Powder?
Gotta look good.
I don't know. I just think that...
No, I'm just saying that people look different when they get up in the morning. And at some point, you know, you see the person first thing in the morning, and they don't look the same. And that's when you normally say to yourself, gee whiz, what am I doing here? That's when that moment
happens.
That's
when you can really test who's the reacher and who's the settler.
Well, that happens all the time. I mean, it just does. That's the moment, you know, bad breath and all. It just is a thing. They're no longer that person that you first met. It's somebody else. It's somebody with a big clump on the side of their head and, you know, no makeup and everything's fallen and...
Is that the point in the relationship where you're done with it?
Yeah, because at that point, you've achieved everything, and you're like, okay, well, it's been real, it's been fun, but not real fun, bye-bye.
That's so awful.
No, it's just, it's honesty in that, after, okay, what do you want, forever?
Yeah, I mean, at least whenever you start being authentic with the person, they don't like you anymore.
No, I'm authentic right from the start. See, this is where I am the truthful one. You get me honest right off the beginning. But other people are not. And that's where you get the phony.
Just find someone who's authentic from the
right
start.
Right. That's what I said. In the beginning, if you say, well, that person's, you know, a little rough around the edges, they're being authentic with you.
Because the person has that many flaws that it's like, this is a good version.
Because nobody's flawless. That's the thing you got to remember going in. Nobody's flawless. So, if you say, boy, this, again, they're the one, you're perfect, I've never met anybody like you, that's baloney.
Do you think you guys are aware of your own flaws?
If I had any, sure.
Oh, okay, so Scott's unaware. Matt?
I think people are usually their harshest critics.
So you think that you are aware of most of your own flaws? Sean?
I think I'm aware, I think, some of mine. But some of mine I don't realize.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that there's, like, some I'm pretty aware of and some that I'm like, oh, I haven't thought about things like that before. You think you agree? You're still sticking to the, if you had any flaws.
Oh, I think what?
The flaws, you know, if you had any, you think you'd be aware of them?
No, I'm sure I have flaws, but that's harping. I don't want to harp on the flaws.
We're not asking you to harp, just are you aware?
Do you want me to be aware? Yes, I'm aware. I'm aware of the flaws.
That's all I needed. That's all
I needed. No, listen. I always feel that, honestly, that most things are my fault. I mean, I am a big woulda, coulda, shoulda person.
Really? You're taking the blame a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you just said you have to be positive and, like, you're...
I'm positive about myself. I don't think I'm an awful person. But I also know that I am not perfect. I don't walk on water. I don't part the seas.
Yeah, but if you're taking the blame for most things, that's a little self-deprecating.
Well, no, because I don't think... I mean, I'm not perfect.
Right.
I mean, how can I make everything... I am not conducive. I am conducive for my life. I'm not conducive for everybody else's life. So I have to take the blame and say, I didn't do that exactly the right way. If I had done it exactly the right way, I probably would have turned out different. So, that's my fault, but I'm not going to harp on that forever.
Yeah, no, you don't need to harp on it forever. Just to know that, yes, you've got flaws. We've all got flaws.
Well, sure.
Okay, perfect.
Who doesn't have flaws?
Nobody.
I think most people regret things, but if you ask somebody what their regrets are, oh, I don't regret anything. Well, baloney.
I think that's what I would say. I can't think of any regrets.
See?
Do you guys have regrets?
I do.
Oh, sure.
Do you have regrets, Matt?
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Maybe I just don't have gleaming regrets. Like, I'm sure if I thought about things, it's like, okay, maybe I could find some small ones. But, like, you guys have glaring regrets that you're like, I wish I could go back and change this?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I don't know necessarily about that. I think sometimes... Nothing with... On the subject of relationships, nothing with that.
Yeah, no.
I that's all fine. But, no, I think other things I did probably were not always the best. But then, I don't know. It's tricky.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, because I think, you know, I didn't always make the right decision. Who does?
No, but, like, do you remember it? It's like, even if you made the wrong decision, do you regret it? Because I think that that's different than just thinking you made the wrong decision. Like, if you're mulling on it, if you're spending
time... Oh, no, I don't harp on it.
Okay, okay.
No. But I certainly know that I did not make perfect decisions all throughout my life. But, you know, I think I made some very good ones.
Yeah, but there's just no significant moment in your mind where you're like, I wish I could go back to this moment and change this thing.
No.
Yeah, and no. I don't think I have that either.
No.
But
no.
You do, Sean?
I do.
What's the moment?
Interesting.
Huh?
What's the moment?
Well, the moment is that, you know, I wish I would have, before I got my health issues, I wish I would have exercised and paid more attention to it.
Well, here's an interesting thing. This is one of the topics we were going to discuss tonight. We've got 10 minutes left. Why not go into this? This is kind of what we're talking about. Are people too private about their life in general? Too secretive? Because this ends up hurting a lot of relationships, friendships, all kinds of things, because people are too private. Do you know anybody who is just a little too private, too secretive?
Yeah.
Okay, who?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I can't say this.
You're not going to name them, but you know somebody.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in what way are they private?
It's like they almost want to bring attention to themselves, but at the same time, it's like once the attention's on them, they're like, oh, well, we can't talk about this. And it's just like, what? That's the most frustrating thing to me.
Like, what's a for instance?
For instance, maybe they get a text from someone on their phone and their best friend's sitting in the room, you know, and they, like, look over at them and they're, like, screaming. They're like, oh my gosh, like, you'll never believe what happened. And then you're sitting in the room like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, I can't tell you. And it's like, you made the whole scene about it.
Yeah, that's annoying.
I hate that.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like those
people.
That
bothers me to my core.
So, Matt, do you know anybody who's too private?
I think people usually are too public.
Too public.
Interesting.
I think people usually
overshare.
I think people overshare a lot on like social media and things like that.
I think that's probably true. I think that people, I really don't need to know where you ate. I really don't need to know what I really believe that if I was not doing any type of show and any type of promotion, I would have no need for social media. That's really what I use it for.
You don't want to keep up with anybody?
No, I don't really use it to say anything about myself. I don't give political opinions.
You don't have a cell phone.
No, I don't pay attention to that stuff.
That's true. You texted me the other day, and it came from like
an email address.
I was so confused.
No,
I'm telling you,
I am in the... I believe that technology has hurt society.
Interesting.
It, very badly.
I could see that there's definitely pros and cons to it.
It never needed to run my life in a way. It still doesn't.
And you still have a landline.
I do still have a landline.
Good for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what's yours?
Mine?
Somebody who's too private.
Basically, like, similar to what she said.
But I, you know what I don't like?
In the room, they don't want to tell you. They'll say, oh, I can't tell you.
Yeah, but also what I don't like is when people start telling things about you that maybe you don't want to be known. See, because that sometimes, I think, is a gray area. Well, I don't know why people do that. I mean, you know, if you want to tell it, tell it. It's your story, tell it.
Do you mean, like, if you told somebody something in confidence that it would be between the two of you and then they bring it up in a group setting?
Well, I don't know why people bring anything up in a group setting that is set. I mean, I've had this conversation about on-air and off-air. If something is off-air, until they tell you it's okay to say it on-air, or, it's been said on air by them, you don't bring it up because that's inappropriate. You're either doing it to hurt them or you're doing it to embarrass them. And either way, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I think you could be hyper aware of this because of your radio career. I don't know. Sometimes, like I said, I previously have had people tell me things and then I'll be like, oh, shoot, is this a secret? Am I not supposed to bring this up in the future? I don't know, sometimes you're...
Well, I don't know that it's a secret. I just don't think that there's different things that you broadcast and you don't. I mean, I've known things about people that you clearly... I don't know that they said them to me in secrecy, but I don't think they want me to just come on and say their name and say, well, they did this or had this or blah, 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 blah.
That's fair. No, that's fair. I just think that you could be more aware of that because of your
radio. You know why?
Yeah,
you know what I hate is when you tell somebody in confident and they're say, and they're actually say, oh, I'm sorry, I accidentally said it. To somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Bull. That's wrong.
Well, I don't know.
Right? Am I right?
I don't know. What was that again?
Well, you know when you tell somebody in confidence that don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
But they'll say, well, I'm sorry, it slipped out. I told them. pull somebody.
Oh. Well, I mean, sometimes it does. I mean, I can't say that that hasn't happened.
I don't see the point in telling somebody something and then telling them not to tell anybody.
Yeah, don't tell them.
Exactly, just don't tell them.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, there's no issue.
Right, I think, you know, if somebody wants to ask you something, go ahead. It's fair to ask anybody anything, but you don't have to tell everything. You know, some things it's okay to be private about. I think that you're right. I think Matt is right here. I think people overshare.
Oh, I know. They do.
Why do people need to know anything about anybody? Is this some kind of impact on them?
I think it's social media because I've noticed this, okay, like at Kroger, you know, people will call into the pharmacy or they'll walk up to the counter, and people are much more ruthless online. I think they just feel as though they're masked behind the computer, and so then they're able to say more or do more, and they feel more comfortable to share because they don't have the eyes looking at them and they don't have judgment of others. So I think that it's just a lot to do with the masking of...
That happens a lot on the internet now.
But you can have a life-changing event, too. There are things that happen in your life as you go along. If you have a life-changing event, it all of a sudden makes you not care anymore about what people think or know or blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I noticed that, too, the harassment on the internet causing people to die.
Look what happened to this girl. She got death threats for some silly little video.
Yeah.
It's awful.
But again, that's because people want to expose her. I believe that was the problem there, is that people brought more attention to her than she really needed or wanted.
Right. It's all because that guy started it, right?
Well, I think it didn't help. I don't know if we can blame it on the guy who had laid his comment on her, but I think it's what it is. You know, you can tell what you want to tell and not tell what you want to tell. You know, I think everybody is entitled to their own privacy. And if you invade somebody else's privacy, shame on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody tells you something, you know, good for them. If they don't tell you, who cares?
If they don't tell you, you weren't meant to know.
Well, why do you got to know everything?
You don't?
No. I mean, does that really make you like or dislike somebody, what you know about them?
I'd like to know things.
Well...
I think that's like how friendships work, though. You kind of just tell each other things. If not, it's just like you're sitting in the room with people you don't know that well.
Yeah, but there are different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at somebody as a certain, you know, you say, they're that way, they're that way, they're that way. You know, it's interesting.
Definitely.
You know, like how girls talk to girls, how guys talk to guys. It's a whole different thing.
Absolutely. I've definitely noticed that, and I'm hanging out with a group of just girls or just guys. It's like an entirely different world sometimes.
And I think that that's how it's going to go. But I think it's like I always send thank yous, no matter what I'm doing, to everybody involved. Like, like after a show, I send thank yous to everybody. I say, good job, see you next time. I send that. I send one to Matt, Constant, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I send one to you.
I think I just got my first one.
No, that's not true.
A week or two ago?
No, I do that.
That's so true.
No, I do that because I do it to you, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always say, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. I think that's important to let people know that you appreciate that they showed up and they played.
Yeah, I think that's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I always do that. I think that's very important. But I don't think that's a secret. I think that's just trying to be... authentic.
I hope it's not a secret. You just said it.
Well, right. I mean, I don't know if the audience knew that I did that, but I think I do that. So there's a secret. Let out.
Cat's out of the bag.
There's my secret.
Scott loves to give gratitude.
Well, I love to tell people. I'm not going to tell you something that's false. I'm not going to lie to you to prep you up. But I will tell you if I think you did something really well, I will tell you. I'm not just going to let you go by the wayside. Now, if you like that, fine. If you don't like it, I don't care. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you when I think you did something really well. But I'll also tell you when I think you did something really poorly.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard you give harsh criticism here.
You ever heard any harsh criticism, Sean?
Oh, yes.
Interesting. I've heard it whenever somebody walks out of the room. But whenever are you going to tell the person?
No, wait a second. Who did you hear walk out of the room and me say something bad?
I'm not going to say...
Have you ever heard me do that, Matt?
No.
I think I'm pretty much in people's area.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they know when I like what they're doing and when they don't like what they're doing.
Hmm. No, we'll talk about it later.
Who are we talking about here? You're not going to say it here?
The girl that was sitting in this chair right
now. Oh, I've told her that endlessly.
That she did a bad job.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
I didn't know you
said
that.
You've heard me tell her that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. I'm honest. You know what? That's how you've got to be.
Mr. James Cotton at the at the Bratwurst Festival, you let him know how you felt about his interview?
Well, I didn't run into him again.
Okay.
I mean, if
you'd
I
be
had,
like, hey,
I
that was bad.
I was shocked at the time that it was so poor. I think I was in shock at the moment.
You were left speechless.
I was, wow, that was bad, you know? But no, but the people around here, sure. I mean, because how are you going to get better if I don't tell you that you're doing awful or doing something wrong? But then again, how do you know when you're doing something right if I don't say you did that well?
That's true. No, I appreciate the feedback.
I mean, this is, if you don't like me because of it, too bad.
It's like how the truest friends are sometimes the ones who will tell you
exactly
that you're wrong.
Exactly right. Exactly right. The people who are the best people in your life are the ones who are going to tell you you're wrong. And those are usually the people you extricate from your life because you don't like to be told you're wrong.
Because they're brutally honest.
Well, I don't know if it's brutally honest. Because brutally honest sometimes, I think, is just, like, outspoken. And I don't think outspoken is what we necessarily want to be here. Because are you also willing to give compliments? Because I'm willing to give a compliment to somebody. But I'm also willing to tell you when I think you're doing wrong.
Yeah, I was making the outspoken reference to myself earlier whenever you said
right, but
I
do you
outspoken.
Give people compliments?
Yes, remember whenever we came on and I said, oh yes, it was so nice to meet Abby. She's very pretty.
Yeah, but see, that's what of all the people here, you've spent more time around us, never gave us any compliments, but the one person you've met the least amount of time, you compliment her. That says something interesting.
And yeah, I haven't noticed that. This is one of those flaws I'm not aware of in myself.
Well, I don't know
I
if it's a flaw, but I just that's interesting.
It's an observation.
To me.
Yeah, no, yeah. I wasn't aware of it. Thank you for pointing it out.
And it was a superficial thing. Because what do you really know about Abby? She could be a murderer.
No, that's true. That's
and
true.
She, I mean, some of her husbands, I don't know where they are. So there you go.
Suspicious.
I mean, when Abby walked in the other night, as we're wrapping this up, Matt, who'd never met Abby before in person, what was the relationship that her and I had, like, the first 5 minutes when she walked in that night?
Oh. That was fun. It was good times. Lots of, I guess if you want to say, colorful language.
Because that's how we are with each other. And we've been together for 4 or 5 years now as friends, seeing each other a lot. But that's our relationship. It just is, there's nothing held back.
Really comfortable.
Really comfortable. And she'll tell me, and I'll tell her, and that's the way it is. Like that night I told her she was not dressed for television.
Yeah, no, the way that you talk about her on here, I hope you guys have a good relationship.
Oh, she hears it. She listens all the time. Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, my fake tan.
Oh, we've been down the road with the fake tan. All right, what did we learn tonight? What did we learn, Sean?
Oh, geez, come back to me. I have to try to think.
What do you think, Matt? You just had Mitch McConnell over there.
I did.
We learned that watching TV shows again and reading books again is actually good for you.
I thought that was a sign of depression.
Well, no.
No, it's good for you.
Is it?
Yes, I just made up this whole depressed thing.
Oh, you made it up. So it is good for you?
She said, okay, so the whole thing, because she said
that. I didn't learn that.
Were you here? We had
you know what? Sometimes when you guys talk, I black out for a moment.
The whole thing she said was I don't know where I got the the premonition from, but I always assumed that watching a show multiple times or reading a book over and over again is like a sign that you are depressed.
I think I tuned in another station during that
program. It seems you did.
Yeah. Where are you mentally right what? Now?
Yeah, dreaming compliments up for somebody.
Apparently.
Yeah. What'd you learn, Carrington?
I learned that you like to zoom in on your photo every time.
Will you stop
right
with this zoom photo thing? That is such a bunch of crap. Such, terrible.
Maybe you're not aware of your own flaws, Scott.
You know, you're getting a little too honest over here. All right, Sean, what did you learn?
Oh, I just learned that there's a lot of privacy in the world.
There's a lot of privacy.
Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate everybody who tuned in tonight, everybody who was along for the ride. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate everybody who was here, and we'll be back again next week for another episode, spine-tingling episode. And I appreciate everybody who called in and participated tonight. That was a lot of fun, and have fun at the game tomorrow, you too. Big home opener. That'll be a lot of fun. Popcorn Festival goes on for another day, so that'll be enjoyable, and I'm going to go look at pictures of myself all night, because that's how I roll, and that's how we're going to roll out of here. Let's tilt a whirl out of here tonight. Yeah, there you go. For Sean Kraft, Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson, this is Scott Spears for the whole WGH gang heading for the dugout.
071.com. This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the news department, email Scott at WWDH1071.com. And watch out for the chopper. And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Well, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle.